Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprints. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Haliburton, Kawartha, the Lakes, Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We ask that you like, comment, subscribe, share this program. If you're on YouTube, hit the bell. Be made aware of our programming when it goes live. And we do appreciate you tuning in, but we also appreciate you also telling your friends about it. If they can't watch or listen to the program on Facebook, you can download it, listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. Together we can push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. And of course, today's topic, another good one for you, it is talking about foreign interference in our elections. It's been hitting the headlines lately. It's coming up more and more. Lots of new developments on this. To talk about that, we have Tom Kimmich, the Member of Parliament for Calgary Shepherd, also the critic for Citizenship and Immigration. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
All right. I think what we have to do first, before we really get into the latest developments, is give a little context to this conversation we're about to have. How did this start? Where did the beginning points to where we are now? And we'll get to the where we are now. But like I said, let's start at the beginning.
So let's do two things. First of all, Jamie, we're going to separate the government's response to allegations of interference in our elections and the actual interference that happened in the 2019-2020 election. So 2019-2021, a foreign government, the one in Beijing, representing the Communist Party there, interfered in our elections to varying degrees in individual ridings. It didn't change the outcome of the election. But in individual ridings, they were manipulating people, bullying, intimidating Canadians, and also foreign nationals to actively participate in our election. They were doing things like illegal cash donations in a 2021 donation, and then having people pay them back when they got their rebate from Elections Canada. They were bullying international students and Canadian nationals into supporting specific candidates over other ones. And they're basically directing it. In fact, we now know from CSIS, because it appeared on the front page of the Globe and Mail, Canada's national newspaper, that they were actually taking credit. The Consul General of Beijing in Vancouver was taking credit for the defeat of two candidates, two members of parliament. They happened to be conservative members
Kenny
of parliament.
Kenny Chu from Kenny Richmond Chu Stevenson.
And Alice Wong.
Yeah,
that's right.
From Richmond Center.
And so in both those cases, you had a diplomat directing and then taking credit for the defeat of two sitting members of parliament in the 2021 election. It's also happened in Toronto, and a lot of those allegations have now been proven basically to be true. That consul general is no longer in Canada. She actually moved on to a different diplomatic posting. And I've heard from many people on the ground in Vancouver, especially in Vancouver, how much interference was actually going on. And then there's a government response since then. So the government, the Trudeau government, has always had this style, so to speak. At first, they completely deny anything's going on. That's what the prime minister said. He's never been briefed, never heard about this story. And then it appears on the front page of Globe and Mail, and then they start to double back. They start to say, well, of course, they've heard about this, and that's why they set up this alphabet soup of organizations to respond and to look at. Of course, when he appoints someone, the news back is always nothing to see here, everything is good. Then the front page of the Globe and Mail says they're wrong, the editorial board says they're wrong, they need to take this much more seriously. And they keep doubling back to the point to say, well, of course there was foreign interference now, and of course we take it seriously. And now we've gotten into the ridiculous point where the government is defying parliament. All parties on Parliament Hill, except for the Liberal Party, agree that we need an inquiry, a public inquiry, so we can air out exactly what happened in full public view. And instead, the government's moving to appoint a special rapporteur and to assign it to ENCICOP, which is a committee of parliamentarians named by the prime minister to meet in secret, with secret evidence, with secret conclusions. So it's completely ridiculous, but they kind of slow
walk. And they report to the prime minister.
To the prime minister,
so
that's
they don't
right.
report to parliament. It's not open. There's
not
no
parliament.
Part of this that's open
right.
yet.
And not even to the public.
Yes. It's just a big smoke and mirrors. But I will just back up just a hair before we get into the latest announcement by the prime minister. Let's talk about what Kenny Chu, our conservative candidate, who was the member of parliament from 2019 to 2021, Richmond Stevenson East, I believe, was his riding. He was talking about foreign interference in our elections almost immediately after that 2021 election. And he was basically dismissed by the Liberals for sure. And in some part, not all, I will give credit to some media outlets really digging on this and staying with it, saying that there was some meddling, according to Kenny, that cost him the seat. And you could say that, as you said, the Consul General in Vancouver taking credit for Alice Wong in Richmond Centre. And there was parts in Ontario Markham Unionville, for one, that we had won handily in a red tide in 2015 with over 50% of the vote. And all of a sudden now in 2021, when Liberals are on the way down, Conservatives are on the way up, and somehow we lose that seat.
That's right. So these types of instances, you know, are concerning. So we've always been expressing concerns since 2019 that, you know, there's something going on here. But there's a difference between having suspicions and then actually having hard evidence. So like front page of the Globe and Mail is showing, you know, that they have now in their possession documents from CSIS, so top secret, secret level documents that actually show a connection between a diplomatic office and activity on the ground by a foreign power, actively trying to defeat candidates and sitting members of parliament who perhaps don't like their government, they're advocating on issues, on economic issues, on human rights issues, and they're advocating for different things they don't like. In the case of Kenny Chu, for example, and I've spoken to Kenny many times, I spent a lot of time with him in Vancouver when I travel there, he believes very strongly it's related to his advocacy for foreign agent registry, which basically it's legislation that's been in America since the 1930s. Australia now has a foreign agent registry. All it basically says, if you take money from a foreign government, you need to disclose it. In fact, Canadian organizations in Australia have to register with their foreign agent registry system. And it's fine. You just get to go online. You get to see basically where is your funding coming from. It's a very fair and open, transparent way to do business and to demonstrate to people what your ties are. So like alumni associations, for example, have to disclose. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem. But in the case of the one that Kenny Chu was proposing to do an active legislative framework for it, there was obviously one specific government, the one out of Beijing, the communists there, who had a problem with it. And they started to manipulate and to intimidate and to bully people. And now we know that, in fact, it is true because CSIS knew about it. Mm-hmm. It was trying to tell the government. It obviously told the government, and the government did next to nothing. And then they went, a whistleblower, a patriotic Canadian, decided that this wasn't good enough anymore, and they went and gave it to the Globe and Mail so that the rest of us could know. And Parliament has been working on this. We've been working on this since March 2022 when an initial motion was passed, led by the Conservatives at that committee, which is the committee that we call by acronym called PROC. Mm-hmm. That's the one tasked with, you know, looking at Elections Canada legislation, foreign interference, and things of that matter. And then in September, when I was on the committee, we forced it through one more time over the objections of the Liberals to make sure we actually did the investigation we were supposed to do on foreign interference. So a lot of that work is because the public service, the bureaucrats, people in the general public can see that Parliament is working on it, and they want to come forward, they want to blow the whistle on things they see going on in government. And when we had the Trudeau government basically saying, there's nothing to see here, there's nothing going on, everything is A-okay, to then start, you know, walking back that initial language, then we know where there is smoke, there is fire. And this is not a this is like a giant forest fire right now.
Oh,
like,
this is a massive security breach. So let's go over, after the Globe and Mail story was made public, let's go over the Liberal talking points. So we'll give credit to the National Post for coming up with this. There was first the Trump card.
Of course,
people talking about this must be election deniers.
That's right.
We never actually denied the election results. What we're talking about is the interference. Did the Liberals know about it? If yes, what turns out to be yes, they were briefed on it many times. Why didn't they do anything? Well, because it benefited the Liberals. Next up was the nothing to see card. We're all making it up, right? They got this out of control. They took steps in the past. They're on it. Of course, then there came the partisanship card. Of course, if you're bringing this up, clearly you're doing it for partisan gain. You're not doing it for the real benefit of the country. Then came the it's all lies card. So, of course, you know, the Liberals are concerned with the Globe story, similar to Jody Wilson-Raybould, and there's so many inaccuracies, well, we can't possibly respond. All of a sudden, you get the racism card after that. Of course, if you're talking about this, it must be because, you know, anti-Asian racism, that kind of thing. And then they finally decided, yeah, you know what, yesterday's announcement, we're going to actually take this somewhat seriously. Probably, same reason they do anything, their poll numbers started to show some decline.
Yeah, so like you basically laid out kind of the history of their talking points.
Oh, absolutely. This is on everything.
And as they're getting pushback on it, so on the Friday when the Globe and Mail story came out, I was the first MP on our side to ask questions, having read the story. So leading off, and it's I'm hearing the parliamentary secretary's voice in my head as she's reciting exactly those lines sequentially, one after another. And that's when you know there's something going on, because if they're so bad at this, you know, if they're claiming racism, which is completely ridiculous, like my kids are part Chinese, I worry about a future where they may be targeted by a foreign government, by an influence campaign, or for bullying or intimidation, because the family members who are also Chinese, like, that is wrong. Like, we as a society and as parliamentarians and the government of Canada needs to be concerned about the fact that a foreign government is leaning on our own citizens, on permanent residents in this country, and not just leaning on them, cajoling them, bullying them, and using subterfuge to try and get to them to make them do something they wouldn't want to do all on their own. And then it's even more worrying that the government was so blasé about it, you know, calling it partisanship, and then, you know, impugning our motives while bringing it up. And you're absolutely right. The election result wouldn't have changed.
That's right.
The election would have still been won by the Liberals.
A minority Liberal.
Yeah, a minority Liberal government, which in this case was actually the goal of the government in Beijing. That was their goal. That's what they wanted. They wouldn't have changed. But in individual ridings, there was obviously an impact.
Yes.
Some in Toronto and some in Vancouver. So at the very local level, because we know this, we have 338 ridings in this country. There's 338 mini elections going on, just like in yours and in my own. But in certain ridings, obviously those campaigns were very, very focused and obviously effective because they had an impact. That's foreign interference. As a foreign government actively participating, they have a plan, a strategy in line to defeat certain candidates that they don't like. And it's most concerning that, you know, there's this talk of all these candidates that took support, whether knowingly or unknowingly. The government won't tell us.
Yeah, who so those nine
exactly,
are.
Yeah, exactly. Who are they? Yeah. Just tell us the names. Disclose the names. They obviously know who they are. Just tell us who they are. And then the public can decide kind of and make up an opinion on what should happen next. What we've been calling for consistently now is a public inquiry under the Inquiries Act. It's worked for the Nova Scotia mass shooting. Mm-hmm. They've done it with the Rulo Inquiry and Emergency Act, which is a requirement of the law. The government has the power to simply call an inquiry. Right now, again, for the second time, at least in the 8 years I've been here, the government is defying Parliament. They defied Parliament when we ordered them to release documents during the pandemic from the Public Health Agency of Canada. They went to the extraordinary step of actually suing the Speaker to stop the release of the documents. Remember that?
That was suing the Speaker. For those just looking to be up to date, it was the two scientists linked back to Beijing.
That's right.
Escorted out.
Or the Winnipeg lab.
The Winnipeg high security.
That's right.
You know, lab, which we still don't have answers on.
It's funny how when it comes to Beijing, when it comes to China's Communist Party, there is always a problem with the Liberals. At first, this is the same government that when they came in, they wanted to first negotiate a free trade deal back in 2016. It had the door slammed in their face. This is the same government that, you know, slow walked the return of the two Michaels to Canada and the case of Meng Wanzhou. And they were completely incapable of managing that relationship. This is the group of people who slow walked banning Huawei from our 5G network.
Yep.
Whenever it comes to anything related to Beijing, they're so timid. What the people are not timid with is accusing every single person who disagrees with them of racism, of partisanship,
making it up,
that you're lying.
Anti-Canadian.
They get very defensive when we start talking about their relationship, their pushback, and actually looking after Canada's national security and also the integrity of our elections when it comes to Beijing and China's Communist Party. That's worrisome, that they're so soft when it comes to an issue of one individual foreign government that keeps repeatedly coming up in the news and in issues of national security, of election interference, of the sanctity and protection of our judicial system when it came to Meng Wanzhou's extradition case. So time and time again, the Prime Minister has been personally weak on this issue, and we need action, and we need this public inquiry.
Well, according to this, the National Post article, they've laid out the whole gamut of errors by the Prime Minister. Let's also talk about we'll touch on it briefly, but the Trudeau Foundation received money that was tied back to Beijing. They have since brought it back. So as we were talking just before the show and you had mentioned it, even the Trudeau Foundation is giving the money back.
Right.
So it goes against the kind of nothing to see card or the it's all lies card played by the Prime Minister. There's no interest on the money. They shouldn't have taken it to begin with, but they're actually giving it back. So there must be something there.
Obviously, you know it's really wrong when the Trudeau Foundation looks at the facts right now as they are being presented in the public So they're obviously watching the debates, they're looking at the parliamentary committees, they're seeing snippets out of question period, and they're like, yeah, this is money we should have not accepted. And they go before the prime minister to return the money for the namesake, the same mm-hmm. namesake that he has. The foundation returns the money, while the government at the time kept claiming there's nothing to see here. Conservatives and other opposition parties are, you know, playing politics. If the foundation says there's something wrong with this money, we accept it and returns it. Obviously, it was as obvious as it was to the rest of us. There's something going on.
Right.
There is a great amount of smoke, and you need to act, and you need to react in a way that ensures, again, that the public has confidence in what you're doing. And the government, again, has been slow to react. Again, first the denials, then the yep. accusations. And it's the same thing time and time again that they've done on any major public policy issue that arises.
Absolutely.
They wedge, they stigmatize, they divide. And
somehow it's Harper's fault. Don't forget that.
It's Harper's fault. Yeah. Harper never did anything pre-2015.
Yeah, that's right.
It was
yeah.
never a bother then. Well, the two elections in question are 2019 and 2021. Yep. They've had 8 years. After 8 years, they've had ample time to set up the systems to actually go after foreign agents who are actively working in our country to intimidate Canadians, intimidate and bully international students, you know, mm-hmm. forcing them to do things they don't want to do. And many of these people, again, I have to remind people always, there are Canadians being intimidated and bullied by a foreign government in our own country.
On our own country.
Like,
yep.
I travel quite a bit to Vancouver, and I've now met with both Hong Kongers, people who've arrived here, 10, 14, 3 weeks before, and they were in Hong Kong, and they tell me harrowing stories of being intimidated by, you know, the Hong Kong police service, by their government, being charged with criminal offenses that have nothing to do with anything. And they come here to these stories, and then they're told, Tom, I feel just as unsafe now in Canada, in Vancouver, as I did then.
Yes.
They continue to protest because these are democracy activists who really
Absolutely.
Believe in the cause.
Absolutely.
But they do so wearing masks with yeah. sunglasses on, and they're afraid, even in Canada, of standing up to the CCP, to Beijing's communist government. That is worrying. And to then have a government that, you know, slow walks the response and then wants to keep everything behind closed doors. Canadians deserve to know the truth. They deserve as much public information as possible. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. We always say that. It's very true. Because then we can all agree to what the facts are.
Yep.
Then it's not just secret documents, top secret documents, the possession of the Globe and Mail. Everybody will have access to it. And then we can have a fulsome public
yeah,
debate.
But they'll never
be
allow that to happen because they've been briefed on it, as we
That's
found
right.
out. They knew about it. They benefited from it. And there is quotes here saying that the Beijing is only trustworthy of the Liberals, right? Like it's an ongoing pattern. So let's move over to the nomination of this Liberal MP that seems to be in the headlines more and more. It turns out that there was some pressure put on students in particular and others to go into this nomination meeting, some with the name of the preferred candidate mm-hmm. on their arm in the nomination race. The government was apparently briefed on the fact that this individual might be compromised by Beijing. The prime minister, for whatever reason, or people within his party, did nothing about it. That candidate became the member of parliament, and mm-hmm. it's just the lack of action in my mind. If there was knowledge about this, why didn't they act?
Well, why didn't they act? And now why are they refusing to have the chief of staff to the prime minister testify before the committee that's investigating foreign interference? They worked very hard to make sure she was excluded from the list of witnesses called to testify before the committee. The prime minister's chief of staff has been there for 8 years. It's one mm-hmm. of the longest serving political staff members. She knows that she must know things
she
that nobody
know
else knows.
Yep.
She is the lead advisor to the prime minister. She has influence, she has access, and she's the chief of staff to the prime minister. She speaks on his behalf. She has ears and a mouth. She literally is the stand-in person to make decisions on behalf of the prime minister. That's the chief of staff's job, is to manage the operations of the government. To have the Liberal MPs at that parliamentary committee fight so hard to exclude her, you know that they must have had a briefing that she is well aware of, the prime minister is well aware of, where there's valuable mm-hmm. information for both us opposition parties to gain access to, the knowledge and the information in. and for the public to know, because these parliamentary meetings are public. Everybody gets to see what we get to see and can make a judgment call what's going on, which is also why the Prime Minister's response to call this special rapporteur mm-hmm. and an ENSICOP behind closed doors.
And he was
doors.
So proud of himself making Absolutely, that announcement. He yeah. was so proud.
Absolutely, because yeah. I'm sure the communication staff thought, like a Yes Minister episode, at yeah. some point you got to go and just, you know, never call an inquiry or a special advisor to make a report unless you know the report's findings will be at the end.
That's
well,
right. yeah.
he's already stacked the deck. He's already tipped the scales, and he already knows what the report will be like at the end of the day. Those are the types of reports the Prime Minister loves, where he basically gets to control the end product.
Yeah.
So he knows what they're going to say at the end. That's why he was so happy yesterday. But the Canadians aren't buying it. I don't see journalists buying it as well. There's nothing less than a public inquiry. I think we'll give Canadians and us opposition members as well confidence that we have all of the information and that the outcome will be action, an activity on behalf of the government. They'll feel that pressure to actually, you know, clamp down on foreign interference in our elections. And when there is foreign interference and Canadians are being bullied and intimidated, there's actually activity, there's actions being taken. There are local campaign workers who have information to share. There are people who've been intimidated. There are WhatsApp channels, Weibo, yes. WeChat. There is information out there for us to get at, and that should be made public before a parliamentary committee and a public inquiry as well.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. We've gone went way over time, but so much information. I think we could go on about this topic for quite some time. As you know, I give the guests the final word, so the floor is yours.
Appreciate that very much. You know, I listen to the podcast when I drive to the airport every week when I'm trying to get either to Vancouver and then to Ottawa here. I think on this particular issue, all Canadians, regardless of how you vote, can agree, like, we should decide our elections.
Yes.
We are the ones who are voting. We're all citizens of this country. We have an interest in making sure they're free, they're fair, everybody gets a chance. And we all understand the rules at the beginning of the election. It's all equal for every single political party, every candidate. What we can't have is a foreign government getting involved in our elections, and it's risk-free for them. There's no repercussions. No diplomat was expelled. As far as we know, nobody was punished over what was going on. And there were Elections Canada rules that were broken. Those are criminal offenses. It's a criminal offense to give money as a donation when it's not your money. It's even more an offense than turn around, take the rebate, and then give it back to the person who gave you
true.
The money in the first place. Like, there yeah. are criminal offenses that yeah. were committed. My full expectation is that we will see a public inquiry called by
I
the government.
So.
They have to let Parliament decides, not the government. Parliament has called for it, and it's up to the Prime Minister to show some leadership and actually call the inquiry. And we're going to be calling on him to do that until the very end of June if he doesn't do it, and then every single day afterwards until they do the right thing.
And we're also so dependent on other countries because we've given our way over manufacturing for many, many years. So, well, that's a topic for another show. Do appreciate your time, and I appreciate your time. That's Tom Kimmich, Member of Parliament for Calgary Shepherd, also the critic for Citizenship and Immigration. Please like, comment, subscribe, share this program. This is information that is extremely valuable, especially as we stare down Bill C-11, the Internet Censorship Bill. I also encourage you to check out our previous episode with Rachel Thomas, the critic for Heritage, also the Member of Parliament for Lethbridge, an amazing show on Bill C-11, what it means for internet censorship. But this topic needs to get out there. Tell your friends they can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. New content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's The Blueprint.